Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at some really interesting market analysis, digging into, well, frankly, one of the most surprising moves we've seen this year, silver's strategic comeback.
It really is fascinating stuff. Right. All the sources we've looked at, they're basically highlighting the same thing, silver hitting price levels that we haven't seen in, what, 14 years?
Yeah, 14 years. And this feels like, you know, more than just your average commodity price spike. Analysts are actually using a specific phrase here. They're calling it the start of a significant super cycle.
Right.
Now, for those of us maybe not glued to trading screens daily, what exactly is a commodity super cycle?
That's really the key starting point here. A super cycle isn't just a quick blip. You know, it's a sustained period, often multi-year, where prices are pushed up consistently.
Okay.
And crucially, it's not just sentiment driving it. It's fundamental structural shifts, big long-term changes in global demand, and just as importantly, in the ability to actually supply the stuff.
And the core idea here, the reason this is potentially so explosive for silver, is it's... Well, it's unique position, isn't it? It's kind of got a split personality.
Exactly. It's caught right in the middle of two massive trends happening at the same time.
Uh-huh.
You've got the industrial side, silver being absolutely vital for like the green energy transition, high tech stuff. And then you have the monetary side where all this global uncertainty is making people look at it again as, you know, a classic store of value.
So it's that combination, that specific confluence that analysts think could really power this whole super cycle idea.
Precisely. That's the thesis.
Okay, before we really dive into the data, just the usual quick reminder for everyone listening. We're sharing insights here based on specialized market analysis we've reviewed.
Yeah.
This deep dive is purely informational, educational, really. We want to help you understand the dynamics being reported, but definitely not financial or investment advice.
Absolutely. We're focused on the what and the why, the sort of structural forces these experts are describing, so you can connect the dots yourself.
Right. So let's start with supply. Why is silver supply so, I guess, uniquely tight compared to other commodities?
This is probably the biggest structural piece. The market can't just easily react to high prices by saying, okay, let's dig up more silver.
Mm.
Our sources really hammer this home. Something like 0% of global silver production isn't mined for silver. It actually comes out as a byproduct when mining other metals.
Mostly copper and zinc.
Primarily copper, zinc, and lead, yeah.
So wait, if I'm understanding this... If copper prices are just okay, or copper mines are just meeting their own demand, they won't suddenly start digging way more just because the silver price is high.
That's exactly it.
The silver supply is sort of chained to what's happening in the base metals market.
That's the takeaway, yeah. It puts a fundamental cap on how quickly supply can respond directly to silver's own price signals.
Mm.
Starting a dedicated silver mine, rare. Takes ages, often lower quality ore.
Wow.
So if you need more silver now for 70% of it, you're basically stuck with whatever the copper and zinc guys are doing.
And what has that structural problem meant for the actual physical supply numbers lately? Has it caused issues?
Oh, definitely. It's led to this persistent market stress. The data we're seeing shows the global market is now in its fifth straight year of supply deficits.
Fifth year?
Yep. We've been using more silver than we've been producing for half a decade now.
5 years of basically eating into stockpiles.
Yeah.
Can we put a number on that shortfall? Sounds like it could be pretty big.
It is significant, yeah. The cumulative shortfall just since 2021, it's getting close to a massive 700 million ounces.
700 million. How much is mined in a year, roughly?
Well, annual global mine supply is usually around, say, 800 million ounces.
Okay, so we've burned through almost a whole year's worth of mine production in just the last few years of deficits.
Pretty much. That's the scale of it. This constant drain on inventories, that's the real pressure point, tightening up the physical supply around the world.
Okay, so supply is inherently restricted.
Mm.
Inventories are getting low. And that pressure must be getting worse because, well, turning to the demand side, the world seems to need silver for things we weren't even thinking about a decade ago.
Exactly. Let's talk about that demand revolution. Why is everyone suddenly so hungry for silver?
Yeah.
Fundamentally, it boils down to its unique physical properties. It's simply the best conductor of electricity and heat, period. And it's also super reflective.
Right.
So anytime you've got high-tech uses needing to move energy or signals really fast and efficiently, silver is basically irreplaceable.
And the most obvious big consumer driving this seems to be the whole green transition, right? Solar panels.
Absolutely. The solar photovoltaic or PV industry, huge silver consumer. It's essential for the solar cells themselves, turning light into electricity.
And as countries ramp up climate goals?
They need more solar panels, which means they need more silver. It's a direct link. Demand just keeps climbing.
And it doesn't stop there. Electric vehicles, too.
Yep. EVs use silver in multiple places. Electrical contacts, battery management, special relays. And the key thing the analysis points out is that modern EVs tend to use significantly more silver than the old internal combustion engine cars that they're replacing.
So every EV sold is a net positive for silver demand.
Inherently, yes. The shift itself is bullish for silver.
Okay, now here's the bit that analysts flagged as a real aha moment, I think. The AI connection. Honestly, I wouldn't have immediately linked silver to, like, generative AI. How does that work?
It's the physical infrastructure behind the AI. Think massive data centers.
Okay.
These things need instant processing, right? Which means incredibly dense computing on specialized circuit boards and semiconductors. Silver is crucial in those boards and chips.
Why silver specifically?
Because it maintains signal integrity and minimizes energy loss at those high densities and speeds. It's the best conductor, remember.
Ah, right. So if you're scaling up global AI capacity, which, I mean, everyone is racing to do,
you're automatically scaling up the need for these highly conductive physical materials, and that includes silver. Plus, it also plays a role in cooling systems for these incredibly hot data centers.
So building the AI future means building it with more silver.
Pretty much. Whether it's advanced manufacturing, robotics, data centers, you're increasing your silver footprint significantly. And this isn't like cyclical demand. It feels like a new, strong baseline.
So AI adds this whole new layer. Green energy provides a solid base. That's a powerful industrial demand picture. But that's only half the story, isn't it? The other driver is this renewed focus on silver as a, well, a monetary asset. What's changing there?
Yeah, historically, you know, central banks, reserve managers, they focus pretty much exclusively on gold. Gold, hold gold.
Really?
But the sources we looked at are noting this pretty significant shift, maybe you'd call it an expansion, where big institutional players are starting to add silver to their strategic reserves, sometimes for the very first time.
Really? Can you give some examples of who's doing this?
Sure. The reports mention official moves by, for instance, the U.S. state of Texas building up silver reserves. Nationally, Russia has been noted for adding silver alongside its gold.
Interesting.
And maybe more symbolically, very recently, Saudi Arabia's central bank apparently made its first ever silver reserve addition. These aren't huge amounts, maybe, but the signal is important. It shows this growing global view that silver is, well, reserve worthy.
And I guess this isn't happening in isolation. It must tie into the broader economic uncertainty we keep hearing about.
Oh, completely. These moves link straight into things like the ongoing talk about de-dollarization, countries wanting to diversify their reserves away from just one currency, plus all the geopolitical risks swirling around. Silver offers another globally recognized store of value option.
But maybe the most concrete sign of its strategic importance actually came from the U.S. government itself recently.
Yes, that was a big one. The U.S. Department of the Interior officially designated silver as a critical mineral. First time ever.
Critical mineral. What does that designation actually mean?
It's profound, really. It basically signals that silver is considered essential for national economic security and core infrastructure. Things like defense, clean energy, high-tech manufacturing.
So it elevates it way beyond just being a commodity traded on the market. It's now officially a strategic national asset.
Exactly. That official stamp really cements its importance, kind of irrespective of daily price swings. It validates the whole industrial demand case at the government level.
Okay, so we have these powerful demand drivers. If we look back, do we see times when similar forces, supply issues, demand surges, monetary worries actually caused these super cycles? Is there a historical precedent?
There is. We can look back at two major peaks in recent memory. Silver spiked to around $48.70 an ounce back in 1980.
Right, the Hunt Brothers era.
Yeah, that one. And then again in 2011, it got close to that level again.
Yeah.
But the really interesting thing about that 1980 peak, if you adjust that $48.70 for inflation, it would be equivalent to roughly $200 an ounce in today's money.
$200. Wow. Okay. That gives a sense of the potential scale when things really align or misalign, I guess, between supply and demand, mixed with high anxiety.
Exactly. When high demand and macro worries hit restricted supply hard.
So the historical potential is there. Now let's bring it to today and talk about central banks, specifically the Fed. Their policy always impacts metals, doesn't it?
Always. And a major tailwind analysts are pointing to now is the shift in the Federal Reserve's messaging. They seem to be signaling potential interest rate cuts sometime in 2025.
Okay, and lower interest rates are generally good for precious metals like silver, right? Because they don't pay interest themselves.
Precisely. It's about opportunity cost.
Right. Explain that quickly.
So opportunity cost is just, you know, the cost of choosing one investment over another. When interest rates are high, holding non-yielding silver means you're losing out on decent returns you could get from cash or short-term bonds. That's a high opportunity cost.
Makes sense.
But as interest rates start coming down, the yield you're sacrificing by holding silver gets smaller and smaller. The opportunity cost drops dramatically. That makes it much more attractive for capital to flow out of cash and into tangible assets like silver and gold.
Got it. And on top of that, you still have these background worries about inflation sticking around, maybe the dollar weakening.
Yeah.
That just adds to silver's traditional appeal, doesn't it?
It's a potent mix. Add in rising geopolitical tensions, ongoing worries about supply chains breaking. Silver's role gets reinforced from all sides, both as an industrial necessity and as a kind of financial safeguard.
Okay, let's talk price action. The momentum just this year in 2025 has been pretty startling, hasn't it? Finally breaking out of that long sideways drift.
It's been very strong, yeah. The price pushed past $40 an ounce, which was the first time since 2011. Year-to-date gains were recently over 40%. That kind of acceleration definitely gets technical analysts interested.
Technical analysts, the chart watchers. What are they seeing in the patterns that makes them think this might be sustainable, not just a flash in the pan?
The specific pattern mentioned in the sources is the classic cup and handle formation.
Okay, cup and handle. Sounds like breakfast. What does it mean?
Yeah. Well, for people maybe less familiar with charts, picture it like this. A long, rounded bottom shape. That's the cup where the price consolidates for a long time. Then there's a smaller dip or sideways move. That's the handle.
Okay.
What it suggests is that the market spent a long time building a really strong base of support, absorbing all the selling pressure. The recent breakout from that handle part signals that the consolidation is likely over, and it could be the start of a sustained move higher.
So that long base building gives analysts confidence, and that technical picture, combined with the fundamentals we discussed, seems to be fueling some pretty ambitious price targets. What kind of range are we talking, medium to long term?
Well, given the supply deficit, the industrial demand surge, the monetary angle, and these technical signals, yeah, the projections are quite high. Some analysts are looking at a potential range of $50 to maybe even $100 per ounce.
$50 to $100. That's a massive potential move from where we are now. How does silver look compared to gold in this scenario? Is it expected to outperform?
That brings us to a key metric, the gold to silver ratio.
Right. That's just how many ounces of silver you need to buy 1 ounce of gold.
Exactly. And analysts note that this ratio, while it's come down a bit, is still sitting well above its long-term historical average.
And what does that imply for silver?
It suggests that if that historical relationship starts to pull back towards normal, if the ratio compresses, then silver prices have potentially a lot more room to run up, maybe even outpacing gold's gains. Silver's basically got this extra industrial demand turbocharger that gold doesn't have to the same extent. It's playing catch up.
Interesting. So what's the next key level the market's watching? The immediate hurdle?
The analysts seem focused on breaking convincingly above the $42 resistance zone. Mm. If the price can get through there and hold, that could really accelerate the momentum, potentially confirming the path towards those old highs from 2011.
Okay, we've laid out a really compelling case here, based on the sources, for a potential supercycle. But we always need to look at the other side. What are the risks? What could derail this or slow it down?
Absolutely. Got to balance the view. There are definite friction points. For one, stricter environmental regulations, the whole ESG focus, that's real. It makes developing new mines more expensive, more complex, could make solving the supply problem even harder.
And what about recycling? Can't we just get more silver back from old stuff like electronics?
Recycling definitely plays a role, and it's growing, but the analysis suggests it's pretty unlikely to fully keep pace with the kind of massive demand growth we're seeing from solar, EVs, AI infrastructure. The sheer volume needed is just too big for recycling alone to fill the gap.
Right. And finally, silver is just known for being volatile, isn't it?
Absolutely. It often swings more wildly than gold. Because of that dual nature, industrial and monetary, its price can get hit by sudden macroeconomic shifts, like if the Fed suddenly changed course on rates again, or new policies, big tech breakthroughs that maybe use less silver, or even just a sharp global recession hitting industrial demand.
So definitely not a smooth ride guaranteed. Due diligence is key.
Always. Understanding those risks is crucial.
Okay, so let's try and pull all these threads together. If you had to distill it down, what's the single most important takeaway from our sources about where silver stands right now?
I think it's that silver is really at this unique intersection where its fundamental value is being reassessed, maybe even redefined. It's being fueled simultaneously by two powerful compounding forces. One, its absolute necessity for critical emerging technologies, AI, solar, EVs. And two, its rediscovered role as a strategic monetary asset, which you see in things like reserve buying and the response to global uncertainty.
So limited supply meeting this massive, potentially irreversible demand from both industry and investors. A perfect storm, maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of the picture the analysis paints. It positions silver for potentially a major structural market shift, not just a short-term rally.
That dual mandate, vital industrial input, meets monetary safeguard. That really is the core narrative, isn't it? And that leads us nicely into our final provocative thought for you, the listener, to maybe mull over.
Yeah, think back to that official designation by the U.S. government, silver as a critical mineral. Now, consider what that really implies for a metal that, remember, is mostly a byproduct. Its supply isn't easily turned up or down based on its own price.
So you have something deemed essential for national security, for the economy, for defense, but its availability is largely dependent on mining for other metals.
Exactly. So the question to ponder is, if governments now officially recognize silver's strategic importance, how might that influence future policy? Could we see things like state-backed efforts to secure supply, maybe domestic production incentives, government stockpiling even?
Actions that could add a whole new layer of demand or political influence on the market, completely separate from daily price swings, or what copper miners decide to do.
It suggests this deeply embedded strategic demand that maybe the market is only just beginning to price in, something beyond just the regular supply-demand dynamics.
A fascinating dynamic indeed. Definitely something to keep an eye on as you continue to watch the indicators and trends we've discussed today.
Yeah, lots to think about there.
Well, thank you for joining us for the deep dive. We hope this exploration gives you some useful strategic context on the silver story.